Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every single day from Southern California. Welcome. Welcome in. Man, I would tell you this. We had Santa Ana winds, which means, I don't know, they're dry. I thought it means they come in from the desert, right? That's what I always thought they mean. I don't know. Maybe somebody else can look it up and tell me if I'm wrong. But, whoa, is it hot outside here in SoCal? You guys been outside today? Like, it was hot. I was, you know, it was legit. I know in some parts of the country it's not. That's what I think. Okay, so we got a lot to get to. Did you guys watch the end of that Chargers win over the Steelers? Like, yikes. That was almost as big a choke job as I've ever seen in sports. Like, that was bad. Like, that game was over, and then what are they doing? What are they doing? Just so bad. The Dallas Cowboys laid an egg against Kansas City Chiefs. Apparently, Chiefs decided to play some defense. Frank Gore is going to join us. He's actually going to have a fight this weekend with Darren Williams. I think that's in Tampa, right? Oh, it's December 18th. So I got my dates. It's December 20th, November 27th. So it's Thanksgiving week. So we have midweek football. Cowboys get a chance, obviously, to play on Thursday. Got all three of those Thursday games. Those are interesting. Ton of college hoops. We got the LeBron, Isaiah Stewart fight. TJ Hushmanzada is going to join us. God, we got a lot of stuff. I want to start with Baker, and it's not because I care about Baker. Baker Mayfield is playing through a bunch of injuries. The Browns found a way to just survive the Lions. Doesn't matter if you win by a point or 30 points, I don't care. They didn't look great. Home fans booed him. He skipped his press conference. And here's Kevin Stefanski talking about Baker's performance.
Conditions weren't great. You know, Baker's done a really, really good job of taking care of the football in terms of interceptions, and he knows that, you know, we don't want to give them anything. So I'm sure he's frustrated with those, but he's done a nice job this season.
Okay, so Baker Mayfield's wife, his name is Emily. Right? Now, for the record, I don't actually care what she has to tweet, say, IG, whatever. I don't. And it's not because she's a woman or his wife. It's because I don't actually care what somebody's dad says, what their brother says, what their best friend says, what their high school sweetheart says, or their wife, or mom, or cousin, or nephew, or whatever. What you learn in sports, especially if you ever coach, is that parents, relatives, spouses, they're all blinded by love, right? They care about these people. They've seen what they do. They've seen how much time they put into what they're doing and how they're doing it. And the last thing anybody wants is to see somebody you care about be ridiculed. Okay, but this is one of the things that I don't know if people understand. Okay, if you're the number one overall pick, you're judged differently. You just are. Baker Mayfield's been a pretty good quarterback for his time in the NFL. He took over a disastrous franchise. He got into the playoffs. Was it all of him? No. Is he one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? No. Do I think he's worth $35 million a year? No. But do I think he can play in the league? Yes. Is he playing well currently? No. I'm sure some of it's injury, some of it is scheme, and some of it is just he might not be as good as we've told you, as his status as a number one overall pick would lead you to believe. Okay? But here's what his wife posted on Instagram. No one better say anything bad about Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I've seen toughness like this in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take a hint and get tougher. Now, the first part comes across as just defending somebody who you love. The last sentence is one of those, okay, sorry, you just lost your right to put something on social media. And, oh yeah, by the way, no matter what you do now, even if you stop posting now and you shut it down now, the assumption is, fair or unfair, that Baker comes home and tells his wife, dude, these guys are soft and people are calling me out. Like, yeah, I mean, it's too late now. The damage is done now, because I don't care what he goes and says. The damage is, you read that, it doesn't matter if it came from Baker or his wife. There's a very easy assumption where you think it comes from Baker. And I have a rule. So I have six AAU teams, four different levels in terms of ages, six teams. Actually, I think we might have seven now. Anyway, I have one rule when I talk to parents. Do not ask me, talk about, have anything to say about another child who is not your own. Right? That's not, if you want to have a conversation with me, we're not going to talk about Jimmy when you're Johnny's dad, or when you, Jimmy, when you're Johnny's mom. I will talk to Jimmy or Jimmy's mom. Right? But as far as Johnny, you talk to me about Johnny. And it, like the wife, Emily, violating this is violating a very simple code. Okay. Don't say nothing. And oh yeah, by the way, this is one of those where there's no, I don't have to label it with all due respect. I don't respect people who aren't in a locker room, haven't been in a locker room. I don't. To comment on things they don't know anything about. And all you're doing in your effort to defend your husband is hurt your husband. So now Baker has to spend whatever the next day is texting his teammates, talking to people, and trying to go, nah, she wasn't talking about you. I don't know what she's talking about. She was just super emotional. She's watching the game on TV and she got mad. She's watching the game in person and she got pissed. She heard the boos and she got mad and she's just defending me. Please don't think anything about it. Doesn't matter though. When you say maybe the rest of our team should take a hint and get tougher, she's calling 52 other players, 52 other professional football players soft. What in the heck are you doing? You can be blinded by love. You can defend your husband. You can say crazy stuff to talk about how great he is. When you start calling out other guys, especially the ones who play on the same team as your husband, and guys who protect your husband, or guys who have to score and catch the football, or defensive players who have to do their job in order to help your husband, if you're calling them out, Where in the hell is the win in that? So an easy memo to Emily Mayfield, to other wags, if you will, wives and girlfriends. You don't know anything about what's going on in that locker room. You don't know anything about any other players on that team outside of what your husband tells you, or you read online, or you read in the newspaper, you hear on the radio, you see on TV. That's what you know. I'm not going to talk about anybody's, I would never call out anybody's, a team's toughness, especially just to help my own dude. And oh yeah, by the way, in order for Baker to succeed, he needs those 52 other guys to play at the highest level, to play through pain and injury and misery and disappointment and find a way to compete. But man, what are you doing? Or ma'am, what are you doing?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Frank Gore was a Hall of Fame caliber running back, right? Like among the most consistent guys in an offensive backfield for the better part of nearly two decades. And if you're not aware, remember we had Jake Paul on, I think a week and a half ago, and Jake's promoting his fight. He's the headliner. Darren Williams, former NBA All-Star and Team USA member, is taking on Frank Gore. You know, that's the undercard. December 18th in Tampa is part of Showtime's pay-per-view package. And Frank Gore joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Frank, how are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for having me this day.
Have you, in terms of boxing, have you trained in boxing during your time as a star running back in the NFL?
Yeah, I trained it a lot. But I never, like, trained it, like, getting ready for a fight. This is the first time the last eight weeks right here, you know, I've been training like a fighter. You know, it's challenging, and, you know, but I'm enjoying it, though.
Well, I mean, like, look, what you are known as, I mean, like, you tore both ACLs, like, nothing stopped you, right, in competing as a back in the NFL. You're one of the most respected running backs in my lifetime in the NFL. But as you point out, like, training is different for a fight. Okay, so do you go running every day? Like, you do the Rocky Balboa? Like, what is a daily training session like?
Well, you know, we have different days, different stuff. Like, when I was training for football, I never dropped miles. You know, because we always, you know, as a football player, you do a lot of sprints. Now, you know, since I've been training for a fight, I got to, you know, some days I got to go 4 miles. It's different. It's different for me. Very challenging. But I'm picking it up, and, you know, I'll be ready for December 18th.
I want to ask you about your son. Most people know he plays running back at Southern Miss. If you didn't watch this weekend, they had no healthy quarterbacks, so he played quarterback and threw a beautiful touchdown pass. What's that like to watch your son play completely out of position in the NFL and in college?
It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing because, you know, I was a young parent. You know, I always know that he wanted to play football, and also, you know, he got an opportunity to go to Division I college, got a scholarship, and to see him have success. At the running back position, and then when all the quarterbacks get hurt, to go out there and help his team win. And people don't know that he out there on a high ankle sprain. That will make it even more better. And I'm very proud of him. I just want him to keep his head on, keep working, being a good man, good young man on and off the field, respect everybody, and just enjoy his time in college, man. So I've been a proud dad.
Is that his first touchdown pass? Like, did he ever play quarterback as a kid?
Yeah, he played in high school. He played a little bit in high school. You know, he's very talented, man. Like I say, man, like I tell him, just stay humble, just keep working, and just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, man. And respect, you know, his coaches, respect his professors, man, and, you know, good things happen for him.
Frank Gore joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so... it's not just you versus Darren Williams. It does feel like basketball guys versus football guys. How important is this to football culture that you win this fight?
I want to win no matter what. You know, I know people are like, oh, he's a basketball guy, but I can't look at it like that. Because any guy who willing to step in the ring, you know, got to be some type of tough dude. Darren's a real cool dude. I met him when we had the press conference. He's been around MMA for a long time. That's another thing. I'm a tough guy, but I'm not doing MMA. You know what I'm saying? So, knowing his background, he's been wrestling since a young kid. So, I can't just look at him as just an MMA player because he wasn't getting there. And him getting there, he got to know something. So, that's why I'm training like, you know, like he's like a pro boxer.
You know, he's a bigger dude too, with a reach, which means you got to get in there, right? Are you gonna have to force the action?
Yeah, I got to be smart. You know, he's long. He's long, got long arms. So, I got to be smart. You know, I will see. When the bell rings the first round, you know, the way he moves, the way he throws his punches, then I can go from there. But you know, I've been working my behind off. Every time I make my mind up to do something, I'm gonna get 110%. I think, you know, my goal, get the win, and also have my fans and everybody can't believe the way I look in the ring.
So, is the plan for this to be the first of many, or is this the only time you'll fight?
I don't know. I can't look past Darren. I gotta see how the first one goes. You know, this new to me. It's not my sport. I just you know, enjoy it. You know, I felt like, you know, since I didn't want to play ball this year, I want to give this a shot because I've always been around it. But I don't know. You know, I'm going to just enjoy it at the moment when I'm December 18th, when we go to the fourth round and see how I like it. You know, if I like it and, you know, I look good and I want to move on, I'll do it. But, you know, I can't say right now.
Frank Gore joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What was the secret to your longevity? I mean, you go in and look and what was it? Nine seasons of 1,000 yards. And then you have, you know, several 900 plus yard seasons. Like very few players have been able to play nine seasons at running back in the NFL, let alone be as consistently successful. And then, like, you know, you pay more than 15 years at a tough position. How are you able to do it when so many others have not?
I would say, you know, hard work. I would say I got to say it was God, you know, on my side, and the love of the game. You know, just going through what I had to deal with to get to the NFL, just knowing, you know, when you look at my career, you know, I've been doubted. A lot of people say I won't be able to go to the league after my two ACLs. You know, just hearing all the doubts and telling myself I can't listen to that. You know, my goal to get there, I'm going to keep pushing until I get there. Never looking ahead of time. You know, always taking it one day at a time. And always when I hit the field, man, in practice, I gave it my all. Because God showed me that game of football can get taken away, something that I love. So, you know, once I been through or what I went through in college, man, I just had to change my process of the thinking and working. And that's why, you know, I've been able to last so long.
Well, that's why I think if I'm Darren Williams, the last guy I want to fight is you, because he's going to have to beat you. You're not just going to give up. Hey, Frank, can't wait to see you fight in Tampa. Continued success to you and your son. Thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, thank you all for having me today.
All right, that's Frank Gore. Have you ever, Jason and guys, have you guys ever seen the litany of injuries? Do you remember the litany of injuries he had? So he tore both his ACLs in college. Okay, he tore his meniscus when he's at Miami as well. You know, and then you go through his NFL playing days and, you know, concussion very early on, just injury after injury, sprained ankle, hip fracture in 2010 even. Right? I mean, like, he's had some stuff, and yet that guy seemingly was always productive.
I was unaware of how many injuries he had. I remember him being, in the latter part of his career at least, like a dependable guy. Like, he may not have had the skill set or the power that he once had, but he seemed to be out there every week. As you described his injuries, I thought about another Miami back, and what was it? Willis McGahee. Willis McGahee, that's right. That's why I thought you were kind of describing. I'm like,
no, Willis McGahee, he tore his ACL against Ohio State.
That's right.
But that catastrophic knee injury really cut his career short. It was, so he had a couple really good years with Baltimore, but was never able to sustain it. This guy tore both ACLs, had a meniscus. He's had all kinds of other injuries, and he was just a machine. Like, there was him and Curtis Martin was better at catching the ball out of the backfield, but kind of same in that they were just incredibly consistent guys.
There is always the argument about Frank Gore's Hall of Fame status. And I just, when you're third all time in the NFL in rushing,
yeah,
I don't care if it took you 45 years, like, you're going to go into the Hall of Fame. Like, that's may not be a first ballot guy,
yeah,
but there is no doubt he is going to Canton. I mean, it's hot take-ish to be like, I don't know, but the running back position for a lot of guys at the end of their career is just compiling. And when we thought his career was coming to an end, he had five more years after that and continued that. So, yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Gonna brag a little bit to you. Byer, how's your nacho game? Right? Like, how's your nacho making game?
Pretty poor, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I have no problem saying that.
Ramos, how's your nacho making game?
Suzanne, are we talking about nachos like with the cheese?
Is there another kind of nachos?
I don't know. Well, I was afraid it was something entirely different that I was missing out on.
There's no trick question.
Okay. Mine is not well. Suzanne's is exceptional, yes. She loves nachos. And so she does a really good job of expanding them, whether it's just cheese or whether it's, you know, carne asada or any type of meat or jalapenos or whatever.
Man, good living, right? What about you, Jace? Who has your nacho game?
Oh, I'm awful at making just about anything in the kitchen. But I don't know if I've ever had a bad nacho experience. It's one of those meals that you have and it's delicious and you're like, why don't I eat nachos more? And
well, because it's terrible for
you. I don't.
You.
Well, yeah, well, there's always that.
there's a pretty logical. Well, okay, so Byer, why is your nacho game? Like, I don't understand why this is so hard for you guys.
Well, I'm a fussy eater, so I just would like chips and cheese. And I really just throw some Tostitos on a plate, put some Velveeta on top of it, and put it in the microwave, and I'm good. So I know it's not good by any means, I readily admit. In fact, it's poor.
I just don't. I guess I don't understand. You're from Wisconsin. Why would you use Velveeta and not like the real stuff?
That's just how I roll, Doug.
Okay,
that's what I do.
Velveeta is yummy. I'm not going to dispute that it's not super tasty. Okay, so the secret to homemade nachos, you guys, get in here real quick. Get in closer. Okay, the secret to homemade nachos is layering. The mistake everybody makes is they throw a bunch of chips in there, then they pour a bunch of cheese on top. And then you eat the cheese on the chips on top, and then you have this whole layer of chips sitting there. And you're like, what do I do with these extra chips? They've already been heated in the microwave, yet there's no, you can't like double heat them. So the first thing is you lay down a layer of chips, and then you put cheese on top of it. Then you do another layer of chips and then cheese on top of it, and you don't add the salsa or whatever else until after all of that is done. Everybody good?
Got it.
Okay. Okay, good. The Seahawks lost to the Cardinals. It wasn't just they'd lost the Cardinals. Kyler Murray didn't play. And there was this weird press conference with Pete Carroll. He's had some weird ones before. Here's Pete cutting his press conference short at first.
They got 40 minutes, we got 20 minutes, you know, and it really comes down to them being able to convert and us not. And so I'm sorry, it's not a different story. Been the same story in and out of this whole season, and we've got to see if we can turn this thing. I'm really done.
What was your...
So he like bounced for a second, then he came back in. Take a listen.
Pete, your frustration is understandable. Why did you feel the need to come back in?
Because we've had a relationship. I have a relationship with the media that I think I respect the heck out of everything you guys do. And I know you got stories to write. And I think if I shortchange you on the stories and that you've got a job too. I'm just disappointed that I got to keep coming back in here and talk about the same stuff and don't feel like I have good answers for you because our answers so far have not turned it. And so that's why I said I thought I was really clear about it. It starts with me. I'm just not any good at this. I'm not prepared for this. This is not this. I'm struggling to do a good job of, you know, coaching when you're getting your butt kicked in week in and week out. It's new territory. So, and I'm competing in every way I can think of, but I'm just unfamiliar with it. And so if I leave early or if I make a mistake, I'm not on my best game right here. And I'm not making excuses. I don't want to get good at this.
The whole thing is weird. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Like, Dan, you know this team way better than I know this team. My outsider, I thought last year that some of the new pieces that they had gotten later rounds in the draft, I thought they'd started to kind of reinvigorate the defense. And Chris Carson has been a great find for them. Obviously, the kid they took out of San Diego State has not been nearly as good, but you get a Chris Carson and that end up balancing it out, but he's hurt again. He's out for the year with a neck injury. So they didn't have Russell. That hurt him. They do have two really talented wide receivers, but for whatever reason, there's just no rhythm. Remember, they changed offensive coordinators. And they went to one of the Rams guys in the offseason. That hasn't seemed to fix things. But again, this is all kind of outsider deal. This is your team. It's your favorite team. And you really, you watch them with great intent. What do you see from the Seahawks other than they're just Pete saying they're not any good?
It's a pretty good summation of it. Their defense couldn't get off the field. So to the point of the Cardinals having the ball for 40 minutes. It really, you need to get third down stops and get off the field. They had pulled within a field goal at the end, but then Arizona went down and had a drive that not only took a bunch of time off the clock, but ending up in the end zone, so putting the game out of reach. That was a problem. Their draft classes really over the last few years have been bad, maybe an understatement. You can point to DK Metcalf being a second round pick. Maybe their next best pick in the last four drafts is their punter. I mean, that's truly where it's gone. When they've have made trades, they obviously traded Jamal Adams. They're just, you know, for Jamal Adams, and now they've given up two first round picks. They just don't have a lot of good players on that team, and I don't know how good Russell Wilson is. I do believe that he bears some of the responsibility because he did have a say in the offensive coordinator hiring. At least that's what we were led to believe, that he was a part of the interview process when Shane Waldron came in. And yeah, they were 12-4 last year. I don't know if they were a Super Bowl contending team, but they were at least a while it wasn't all there, they at least won 12 games last year. I don't know if they were one of the best teams in the NFL.
They weren't as good as their record, like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you and I would agree.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, it's okay. Very fair. But I think that's been the case. It's kind of been this slow trickle down ever since, I mean, gosh, now, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, you tried to keep that back-to-back Super Bowl run afloat, but piece by piece, it's just kind of, you know, dwindled down. I mean, the offensive line, you thought that they made changes to it, and I'm not sure how good that is anymore over the last couple of years. Not that it was a strength, but yeah, they just don't have a lot of, you know, a lot of good players anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look at what they did to go and get a left tackle, right? They overspent to go get a left tackle. And then they overspent to go get Jamal Adams. You start losing. You start trading away a bunch of first-round picks. And then you miss on a couple picks. You know, and then you have injuries. And you're completely up the creek without a paddle.
Yeah, they went into the season with four wide receivers, and they drafted one with they had three draft picks this past year. And that's Dee Eskridge out of Western Michigan. And he's had a concussion. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's played in a total of three games this year. And that's in a draft where they didn't have picks. When they actually did have picks, they weren't making good picks either. So I think it's been a culmination of a lot of things. You mentioned Rashad Penny. Seahawks fans will still point to the fact that they didn't take Nick Chubb in that draft, that they took Rashad Penny instead. You know, they love to take guys and then say, well, somebody else was looking to grab him late in the first round, when they're guys who are second and third round. It's overall, it's a complete mess in Seattle. There's nothing really good to point to anything. If Russ isn't chucking it down the field 50 yards and having Tyler Lockett catch the football, or DK Metcalf, then they're just dumping it off and hoping for the best.
Okay, so here's the question. You have three different potential things you can part with. Russell Wilson would bring back the most in return. John Schneider would signify a complete turnover in the front office. I thought he got an extension, and Pete Carroll did get an extension.
Yes, last year, yep.
So, I mean, but you know, if you buy a guy out of his contract, you're allowed to fire him. You're allowed to do whatever you want. If you're running the Seahawks, I know what I would do. I'm wondering what you would do.
I do think that you need to move on from Russell Wilson. I don't think that if the situation this offseason wasn't good, imagine what it's going to be with a team that may only win five games.
Yeah, except for, look, the problem with moving Russell Wilson is, and I thought TJ Hushmanzada said this, is like, you know, you have a guy who's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's in his prime age-wise athletically, right? So the idea that we're just going to move on from Russell Wilson, whoo, that's a hard one. Like, honestly, I would think GM and coach more so than Russell Wilson. Now, it doesn't mean I wouldn't move Russell Wilson, but I would consider trying to get someone in return as well as draft picks. Because, again, look at this draft. It is not a super strong draft in terms of quarterback. And there will be other guys available.
Yeah, I don't think that they would. I mean, if they were to draft anybody, again, it would have to be a first-round pick from who they traded Russell Wilson to. And to your point, I'm not sure if there'd be anybody viable in that conversation. I just don't know the likelihood of moving on from Pete Carroll and John Schneider. And the likelihood is that the situation with Russell Wilson will likely, reach a breaking point.
What about a Deshaun Watson?
Well, they need
Deshaun
a lot.
Deshaun has to want to be there. I get it.
Yeah, but quarterback, again, isn't their only problem. And that would be the part of moving on from Wilson that you at least could get some pieces in return to try to fill some of those gaps. And you have a bigger picture to decide on what to do with Bobby Wagner. And I mean, Jamal Adams just signed his extension, so he's likely to be there. Like, those are, if you trade Wilson, you get other pieces and picks in return to help you maybe build that foundation. To bring in Deshaun Watson, I think you still have the same problems.
Yep.
But to your point, Russell Wilson, I still think if you step back and look at where it is, like the judging of where he is as a quarterback,
I think it's
in the balance. Like
I agree with you. Look, Russell Wilson is he has a ton of equity that he's living on because of plays he's made, but everybody did let Russ cook to start last year, and he was amazing. And then the Arizona game was the one where he single-handedly cost them the game. That changed their season, right? A little bit. Obviously, they won 12 games. And he is not, I don't believe he is a carry a franchise sort of guy. Maybe it's their offense, okay? Maybe. But I don't know if he's a carry the franchise sort of guy because of all of this level of dysfunction. Now, he's an unbelievably clutch player who has this unique ability to throw on the move. He throws an incredible deep ball. And every Seahawk game for the last 7 or 8 years that he's been the quarterback, however many years, seems to, they feels like Groundhog Day where it's him running around. But I'm with you. Like, he hasn't been great. He wasn't great the second half of last year, and he's had moments this year, but not a ton of them this season. With that in mind, I know what you're saying. It's like, look, you're judged on the totality of it. And the first couple years of his career, he may get a bunch of credit, but that team won because they had the most dynamic defense maybe we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, that defense was so good that it was just, hey, dude, just don't lose us the game. We'll keep you in it. Make a couple throws here or there, and we'll win. We'll get out of here, right? Anyone could have won that Super Bowl with the way that defense dominated the game from the first play from scrimmage. So I'm with you. But I'm also just know, dude, it's hard to find even another Russell Wilson. He's not Aaron Rodgers to me. He's not Tom Brady to me. Okay? He's not Pat Mahomes to me. He's a slight notch below those guys. He's a great player. He's been a great player at times. But, like, what are your options if you don't have Russell Wilson?
It's a fair point. It really is. But you also have to look at the franchise and say, if we bring Russell Wilson back, what do we have to surround him with? DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, but what, you know, can you turn it over in that quick of a fashion? And I don't know if you can.
There's gonna be a lot of quarterbacks on the market, though. Maybe they'll be on the market for a reason, but a lot of Aaron Rodgers is not going there. I don't think.
If you could trade
a Russell Wilson for the type of, you know, then does it make it more attractive for maybe not an Aaron Rodgers level of quarterback, but that mid-level guy who could be available?
Yeah, I mean, the connections with the Dolphins, if you were to swing a deal with Miami to bring Tua in to be a guy, you know, for that meantime, would be, that could be the situation that you look at. I don't know if the Dolphins would still want to do that deal, if they still think they're going to get Deshaun Watson. I think Carolina is a real possibility. But just if, I don't know, Seattle wants to trade him within the NFC, that would be the question as well.
You get Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold will be available.
Maybe they could get P.J. Walker.
Do we have Manning Cast tonight?
Yes.
You know, Jay Stu? We do have Manning Cast tonight?
We do.
Now, did you see the guest list tonight?
I have the guest list
Go ahead. Go ahead. Read
it. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so the guest list tonight, first quarter, Bill Parcells. Second quarter, Kevin Hart. Third quarter, Condoleezza Rice. And fourth quarter, Julian Edelman.
Do you want to try that one again?
Julian Edelman.
Okay, Edelman will be great. Parcells will be great. I think we all know Kevin Hart thing will be kind of funny, but kind of uncomfortable because he's going to try. Like, he'll, I mean, he's, Kevin Hart's one of those guys that he's really funny, but he's like, he's just the always on things a little bit much, but okay. How do you think Condi Rice will do?
I think that's a ballsy booking, only because she's polarizing politically. I think half the country loves her. The other half hates her. I know there's a sports tie-in and she wants to own a team at some point or be a part of a franchise, but that's a ballsy one. And I don't think she's interesting enough to I guess, validate the amount of heat they'll probably get for it.
Why would they get heat for Condi Rice?
She's far right.
Yeah, I don't know if she's pretty removed from politics, I feel like. Like, she's not somebody, she's not, I mean, and maybe I don't watch Fox News, so I don't know, but I don't feel like she's like a talking head or a hot taker on politics. I mean, I kind of think like her political career's sort of in the past, like she's more figurehead now than ever. I honestly think this is a huge moment for somebody, for Condi Rice to convince me of her supreme football acumen and feel for what's going on. Like, you know, she was on the college football selection meeting. I'm like, why is Condoleezza Rice on the college football selection meeting? How does that make any sense? You know, but I want to hear her. I'd love to hear her, and I want to see people that are usually that successful, and she's been very successful in any sort of political realm. Usually are really interesting people that you want to hear talk, that you want to listen to. So I'm interested in the Condi Rice thing. Go ahead, Byer.
Remember she was, Adam Schefter tweeted that the Browns had thought maybe at one point she could be their head coach. Remember that?
I do. I don't think that was even possibly a viability. I thought that was, but that was a weird one. Yeah. So I want to hear her talk football, and not because she has to wow me and show me that she knows anywhere near what the Mannings knows. She doesn't. But I just want to, I'm kind of into that one. I'm actually more into listening to Condi Rice, and if she's can keep my attention, you know, and if she's interesting, then the Kevin Hart deal. Because it's like, if I don't see Kevin Hart tonight, don't worry, if I flip around enough, I'm going to see Kevin Hart. Right? Like, no one's ever sat down and goes, you know, I haven't seen anything Kevin Hart's been in like years. Where's he been? Like Dustin Hoffman, I saw him on, like, I haven't seen Dustin Hoffman do anything in years. He's a great actor. But Kevin Hart, I don't have any such issues with. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues, works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Okay, so here's a question to you, Jay Stu. Condoleezza Rice, right?
Yep.
What was her highest ranking position in the government? Don't look. What was her highest ranking?
Don't look all the
time.
Is he looking?
No, he's not. But I just think it's funny. You always tell him, don't look.
Like, I want to say,
I know he's really.
Is it Secretary of State?
She was Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Under George W. Bush. She was Secretary of State. She's also sneaky old. How old do you think Condoleezza Rice is?
Oh, jeez.
This is a slippery slope. I'm guessing
it's
what?
It's fine. She's
early 60s?
Late 60s, 67. Just celebrate her 67th birthday. Happy birthday, Condi Rice.
So, is that mid-60s or like,
Well, it all depends.
Yeah.
If you're in your 60s and you say, and somebody asks you how old you are, you say mid-60s,
sure.
Right? Or you just say, I'm in my 60s. You know, but if in reality, that's the late 60s.
Yeah.
67 is the late 60s.
I suppose,
When I was 39, I was in my mid-30s. Technically, it's middle of the 30s. It's not in the 40s.
I just don't know if it was maybe just 8 and 9 and maybe, you know, the 0 and 1 were the early and the late.
Yeah, I don't...
probably not, but...
Yeah. I'm into that one because I'd like to hear what she sounds like in a football conversation, because that'll give me a sense of what she was like in that room in the college football playoff, or what, you know, how she would handle if she did own a team or was part of it. That part's interesting.